Hey everyone, I have a celebrity of sorts here joining us on the podcast today. Stephanie O'Day went viral years ago when she made the commitment and made a New Year's resolution to cook dinner in her crock pot every single night for an entire year and was blogging about it. And this got picked up and she was on Rachel Ray and other TV shows. But what I'm really excited to have you guys learn about here today is not so much that journey, but how this idea of using a slow cooker now translates into her life of just living a slower life. And this is what she is on a mission to help others do, which obviously is in complete alignment with everything that we talk about here on the Work Life Harmony podcast. So without further ado, I cannot wait for you to meet Stephanie. Welcome to the Work Life Harmony podcast. I'm your host, Megan Summerall. I'm the creator of the Top Program and Top Planner, teaching all things time management, organization, and productivity for women. I'm also a mom and wife, and just like you, I'm juggling hashtag all the things while running multiple businesses and a family. Guess what? You don't have to feel constantly overwhelmed, exhausted, and stressed out. There is another way. When you have the right systems and tools to plan and manage your time, you can live a life of harmony. This is your show to learn from me and other amazing women how to master your time, planning, and organization to skyrocket your productivity so you can have work-life harmony. If you're ready to stop feeling overwhelmed, this is the show for you. And if you're new here, I'd love to get you started with my work-life harmony assessment. All you have to do is DM me on Instagram at Megan Summerall with the word harmony, and my team will send it right over. Hey everyone, welcome back to Work Life Harmony. I have a guest that I have been just waiting all week to have the opportunity to finally talk to Stephanie person to person, even though we're online. When I first stumbled on her, I was obsessed with her story. I can't wait for her to share it with you and really dive into our topic today of how do we slow down. So Stephanie, I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself. And I would love if you would share your story, particularly of your crock pot and everything that happened with that. And then we'll dive into some tips on how people can start slowing down today.
Absolutely. Megan, thank you so much for having me. It's just a joy. So I've been following you from afar. So I feel very honored. So thank you very much. I'm Stephanie O'Day, and I am best known online as the Crockpot Lady. In 2008, I made a New Year's resolution to use my Crockpot slow cooker every day for a year and write about it online.
Okay. And so everyone, every day for a year with your Crockpot. That's one heck of a resolution.
So I really do love my Crock-Pot. I really do. There's a picture of me wearing glasses and pajama pants in front of the Christmas tree, hugging my Crock-Pot that went viral. And that really is how I felt at the time because I had teeny tiny babies in the house. And in order to feed them, I had to do it in a way that made sense to me. And I'm a morning person. So the idea of cooking dinner when I'm still highly caffeinated and coherent and pushing a button and walking away was just a no-brainer for me. And I've got great kids. I love my kids. But from 4 to 6 p.m., they were cranky heads.
And is there any child that's not? I mean, they call it the witching hour.
Hour is a real thing. I mean, the idea of cooking dinner and like wielding a knife and sauteing on the stove with babies strapped to my chest, it just wasn't for me. So yeah. I really did love the crock pot. So that was a no-brainer. But I had to work. I had to find a way to make money from home. I always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, but my husband's like, yeah, so we live in San Francisco, so that's not actually a thing. So figure this out. So I sort of really wanted to challenge myself to make something from nothing. And I started poking around. I learned about SEO. I did do some freelance work for Blogher, and that was this like women conglomeration of mommy bloggers, but I didn't want to share like personal stuff about our family. I didn't want to talk about the poop diapers, and I love my husband. So even if it would have been funny, I didn't really want to disparage him on the internet. So I liked the tight focused niche of a food blog, but really I didn't cook. I only used the crock pot. So that's how the resolution came about. And I liked the idea of an exit plan. I was going to do this for a year, tap out, move on, maybe write a book telling people how to stick to their New Year's resolutions. But the universe had something else in mind. The universe was like, nope, you're going to write some cookbooks now. You're going to do these things. And it worked. I'm extremely lucky, very blessed. I loved every single second of it. I ended up on the New York Times bestsellers list. I ended up on Good Morning America and Rachel Ray. But what I really loved and what fed me inside were emails from people and other moms just connecting like, ah, I never thought about it this way. Or, oh, you're right. I could do it this way. And it doesn't have to be super stressful or complicated. Let's just kind of shave it down. So using sort of the metaphor of the crock pot and keeping things as simple as possible, I started sharing other kind of lifestyle tips and tricks and home organization ideas. I am very much impressed with your program because our brains are quite similar in that we don't have to reinvent the wheel here. Like just plug and play. Like it's going to be okay. We don't have to make everything as complicated as the world makes it seem. And we also don't need to be the best of the best of the best. I just wanted to feed my babies. I didn't need it to be Michelin star. You're just trying to get people to organize their homes and their lives. It doesn't need to look like Real Simple magazine. This is
correct. It needs to be sustainable, realistic, all of that. Yes. So when, after you had been doing your crock pot for, you know, every day for a year, at what point did you hit that crossroads where they asked you to kind of pivot what you were doing?
Yeah. So 2016, the Instant Pot hit the market and it took the world by storm. And it looks like on Black Friday, I think that 2015, 2016 cusp, Amazon sold 70 like million units or some insane number. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there were 70 million page views. I don't know. It was a lot. It was insane. And so all of my publishers and my literary agent were really asking me and pressuring me to use the Instant Pot. And so I bought one and I goofed around with it and I just didn't like it. It didn't sit well with me. The idea that you can cook a frozen chicken in 45 minutes is neat. Like that's great technology, but it didn't fit with my life or the life of my family. And it just wasn't how my brain worked. So
It's interesting, even looking at the two different names, right? I mean, another name for the crock pot is the slow cooker, right? Yeah. Slow cooker, instant pot.
Yeah.
And I had never really thought about that till I was, you know, reading about your past and everything. I was like, yeah, that really is asking someone who is used to a slow cooker lifestyle to now say, put on your track shoes and let's start sprinting every day, right?
Yeah, it didn't fit well with me. It was tricky because I was told I was leaving money on the table and I should reach for the low hanging fruit. And I get it, but it just felt phony baloney. And then I also started to really sort of question what it is I wanted to be when I grew up and what I wanted to be known for. The idea of writing recipes after a while started to feel fake to me because all you have to do is change an ingredient and slap on a new name. And the internet thinks it's a brand new recipe and your publisher thinks it's a brand new recipe. But after a while, how many pot roast recipes really need, but like how many?
Like, I love when you said that. You're like, I just couldn't write one more pot roast.
I know. I just couldn't. It just didn't fit well to me. So I took some time off the internet and I really kind of went within and I started asking myself open-ended questions. And that is a huge benefit of living a slow life. So I like the acronym of simply look only within because anything you're looking for, you will find. This fancy machine box will give you the answer to anything right this very, very second. But chances are you already know what the next best step to take is. Just unplug for a little bit, go within, go hike, spend some time in nature, and then just ask, what am I looking for? What am I searching for? And chances are it's not another pot roast recipe. Chances are you can probably live a really good life if your spice cabinet isn't alphabetized. Like you're searching for something.
I feel violated because that brings me such
joy. I know. Well, if you scroll Instagram or Pinterest for long enough, you're going to find all the things you're doing wrong. And that doesn't feel good in your body. What feels good in your body is climbing into bed at the end of the day and knowing you did a good job. You fed the humans. You honored yourself. Maybe you moved your body, you drank your water, you took your vitamins, and you gave it your all, but you didn't burn yourself out because that's not sustainable. So that hamster wheel of go, 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 and the hustle mentality that the internet feeds you. And it's tricky because I live my life on the internet and I know you do too.
Right.
But we don't all really want six-pack abs. We really don't.
Or we don't want to use our time in a way that it would require to develop. Right. Yeah. I'd love to have them, but not, I don't want to spend that many hours of my day.
No.
So for everybody listening right now that is thinking, oh my God, that sounds amazing. You know, yes, I want to go reconnect with myself, but then they're also looking at what they feel is the reality of the stage of life that they're in right now, which is, you know, maybe they're at home with three young kids, like under the age of six. And they're going, when the heck, I can't even go to the bathroom alone. When am I supposed to find this time to slow down and reconnect when I truly, I mean, we've all been in that stage.
I used to nurse my oldest on the toilet with me because I was so scared to put her down that I thought if she cried, CPS would call. So I get it. That sort of frantic feeling that you can't slow down because there's too much to do and not enough time to do it. It really starts from giving yourself a big hug and knowing you are doing a great job already and sort of tuning out the noise that you have to do all the things right this very second or you're falling behind, and you're not. If we're lucky, life is really long. And that's what we're trying to do in the here and the now, is set yourself up for sustainability. So when you are in your 70s, 80s, 90s, you have a healthy body and you can crawl around on the floor with your grandchildren and you can garden and you can do yoga and do the things that you've been sort of shoving aside because you're too busy doing the things that you think you have to do.
Hey there, if you are feeling overwhelmed, like your calendar is out of control, like you are just running against a race that will never end in terms of your to-do list, I have great news for you. I have just done a complete update on my app. Yes, I have an app in both the App Store and Google Play called The Pink Bee, and it is chock full of small but incredibly powerful trainings to help you get out of overwhelm. It includes my signature Ditch the Overwhelm training, an introduction to my time management framework. It can help get you started on weekly planning, helps you understand the four levels of planning, gives you access to my epic One Notebook Challenge, and some tips and tricks on how to get your phone organized. And all of that is available for you right inside the Pink Bee app. So open up either your App Store or Google Play, do a search on The Pink Bee, all one word, download the app. And then to unlock all of that training, it's only $4.99 US. I will see you inside the app. Oh, I think that you nailed it right there when you said doing the things that you think you have to do instead of maybe recognizing everything isn't a have to, which is so hard in the moment. It's so hard in the moment when we're feeling like everything on our plate is a have to.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you have infants and toddlers in the house, they are your have to's. You have to feed them. You have to care for them, but you don't have to also organize the world's best bake sale and be the head volunteer at Friends of the Library and win every single promotion they have at work right this second. So really choose right now, right in this season and stage of life, what is the most important? And chances are it's your family, your health, and your sanity. And then everything else, just sort of put it aside and realize you are not going to always have a 6-month-old and a 2.5-year-old. You're just not. That's not how the world works. And it's okay. They will go to school. That you will have more time. But you will be forced to slow down if you don't actively choose on purpose to do things in a sustainable way now. Women write to me all of the time, and all of a sudden they get sort of diagnosed with these.
Adrenal fatigue, I know, is at the top of the list. I went through that a lifetime ago, but it's not uncommon.
No, it's not uncommon. And adrenal fatigue can manifest in different ways.
Yep.
So again, when you take the time to slow down and just sort of sit and ask yourself, am I sleeping okay? Am I actually eating protein? When was the last time I drank something that wasn't wine or coffee? So just asking yourself these questions, because if you're constantly either fueling with caffeine to get yourself going, or then some sort of numbing agent to turn your brain off, you're not giving your body what you want. And adrenal fatigue isn't fun. So I too went through that in kind of the 2016 to 2018 year when I was trying to figure out what the next step was. And then also I was caring for my grandma, who was ailing, was trying to keep up with the internet, which you can't, because that's the nature of the beast. Right when you figure out Facebook, they're going to change the algorithm on you. So it just, a lot of it is knowing that you're only human, and humans have been humaning for quite a while. And really, we need the basics. We need food, shelter, love, companionship. We don't need fancy purses, probably. And so just deciding what on purpose is really valuable to you and your own needs, and then kind of shelving the other stuff for a while.
So when you were first starting your slowing down, what were some of the initial things that you recognized weren't a have to anymore?
PTA.
And it's not a not have to forever, right? It can just
it's actually interesting because I spend my day in an elementary school right now as their school state secretary. So I get to give out hugs and band-aids all day long, and they pay me and there's health benefits. So that's great. But I all of a sudden had this idea, like, why am I sitting in a meeting in a cold gym at 7 p.m. at night to help the children when my own children were home and my husband was scrambling to give them bath time and bedtime? Like, I do want to help the children, but I need to help the children in my own house first. And that was kind of a wake-up call. And then also, I tend to be a very empathetic person. So when I was coaching and doing things, I was pouring my all into other people, and I was forgetting to get up and go for a walk around the block and do the Pilates and do the yoga and the things that I wanted to do. And so it sounds very self-centered, and women in general are not raised with that idea of putting their needs first. And so I sort of now look at myself in this scientific way that I'm the nucleus, and I really do have to care for myself first in order for all of these other beings to orbit properly. And now I'm looking at it as a way that when I do take the time for myself, and I'm an early riser, so I have an hour or two to myself every day before my kids wake up, the dog wakes up, before life happens, where I am completely unplugged. It's me and my yoga mat and a journaling worksheet that I have. And I just sort of brain dump and then prioritize. But if I don't give myself that time, I'm not as productive and I don't feel as grounded. Because when you are grounded and centered first, you're not reacting. You're just sort of responding because you're already centered. So bring it on. Otherwise, if I'm getting up at the same time as the kids are getting up and I'm trying to make myself coffee and also sign homework papers and do this stuff, it's already this kind of frazzled state.
You know, for everyone listening that's gone through my Master Your Morning workshop, I love that you shared what works for you and what grounds you in the morning. Because one of the things that we go through in that is people uncovering, like, what are the activities that allow them to feel centered, grounded, fulfilled, serving their own personal needs before turning around in service to others. And the fact that you talk about yoga mat and journaling, but also doing brain dump work, I'm like, ooh, I can see exactly where you fall on the morning routine personality grid. And it's so cool because it gets to be different for everybody, whatever it is.
So if any sort of yogi master was to watch me, they'd be like, yeah, that's not yoga. But so I'm in my flannel PJ pants on the yoga mat, and I do light a candle because I really like candles, and I have my coffee and journaling. So I'm doing all of it all at the same time, which to some, maybe it looks like I'm a crazy multitasking mom, but it helps me. Yeah. I'll do some stretching. I get an idea. Let me write that idea down. I don't need to then go find my journal, find a pen. It's all just right there. And it's
so good. So for everyone listening that is wanting to slow down a little in their life, what would be the first step that you would give them?
You bet. So in the Slow Living podcast, I teach the 5 steps to slow living. And the first is to declutter, which ties very well into you also. But decluttering doesn't have to be physical things. It can be, but it can be decluttering your calendar. It can be decluttering your brain. It can be figuring out what works for you, learning how to say no. So, and take some time with that. And also really think about it. If you're having a hard time keeping your house and the stuff working, chances are there's just too many things. And so it really is quite validating to walk around and physically declutter. And I think you'll find that instantly your mental load is relieved as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I notice a lot of women tend to start either with the physical and the decluttering or the calendar / mental. But I have yet to meet anyone that does one really, really well without also doing some of the other. Because once you start in one area of your life, it does just start to trickle.
It does. And it's so gratifying because you can see the momentum build and the snowball kind of getting bigger and bigger. And it's wherever you are now, just trust and have faith that if you take teeny tiny baby steps every day, not huge leaps, tune out the noise and the nonsense of the marketers online who are like, have 10 minute abs. No, just teeny tiny baby steps and you will get there. And then I'll quickly run through the 5 steps just in case. So the first was to declutter, but then the second is to know where you're headed and have that vision in mind. So we touched on, where do you want to be when you're 70, 80, 90? Me, I want to do yoga and garden and crawl on the floor and still have my body working. So that's my end game. And then we work backwards from there. 3 is trust and stay positive that you can get there. And the kind of negative thoughts, and they will creep in and tell you that you're behind or you're not good enough or it's a pipe dream, and just sort of acknowledge them. You don't need to ignore them because that doesn't really work, but acknowledge them and then still take your teeny tiny baby steps, which is 4, is just constant keeping your eye on the ball and trusting that you can get there. And then 5 is you're tweaking and you're modifying as needed. I love the idea of setting your kind of metaphoric GPS. And the road can meander, you can get a flat tire, but it doesn't mean you turn your car around and you go home. You just keep going and you're tweaking and you're modifying. And again, that phrase, if we're lucky, life is long, and don't sort of fall for that FOMO and YOLO sort of messaging. So with my coaching clients, we use a rewrite of FOMO, which is figure only myself out.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because everyone is trying to sell you on something, but I really want you to go within because you know what your own version of your best life is. And it's probably not going to look like the lady down the street because you know your life, your marriage, your children, your house, your big kind of internal dream that you're scared to let loose. Yeah.
Oh, so good. Stephanie, thank you so much. Now, you mentioned the Slow Cooker podcast, did I get the name right?
No. So the podcast is the Slow Living podcast.
Slow Living. Okay. I was like, I know I said that wrong. So
wouldn't that be fun? So now you unwrap your meat and you throw it in the pot.
Yeah. Unwrap that door. No. Where can people tune into the Slow Living podcast?
Sure. So that's on any of your favorite podcast apps. My main home is stephanieoday.com. And if you, I do have a one-page journaling worksheet, if you're interested in learning how to kind of slow down, and that's at stephanieoday.com/daily. You can get an instant download. If you haven't learned how to journal, having sort of a guided fill in the blank to get started is a really good way.
Yeah, I agree. When I was first
to do it,
being introduced to journaling, I was like, what am I supposed to write? I'm just staring at a white piece of paper. And having a prompting journal is a really, really nice way to help you get started if you're kind of unclear. And we'll have links to all that in the show notes as well. I can't thank you enough for spending your most precious commodity, your time, here with us today, Stephanie. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. This was a joy.
Getting on top of all things time management, organization, and productivity doesn't have to stop just because this episode is over. If you want one-tap access to all of my training and current top podcasts, go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Pink Bee app. It's one word, the Pink Bee. It is jam-packed with simple yet powerful tips and strategies to get you out of overwhelm and into harmony. And if you have a question you want me to cover on a future episode, go to iTunes and ask your question in the podcast review section. And while you're there, don't forget to leave a 5-star review.